Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone does this, or
I think I know what you're about to say. And
wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this. They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypospermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
He's got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Jeremy and Joe. I was asleep when the Godwin thing happened, and I've already seen a lot of the fallout from, hey, a reporter went after Todd Bowles. Like, why were you playing Chris Godwin in these moments? And he's like, we're playing football players. You know, it happens. Sorry, we're trying to win the game. He wanted to play. Player wanted to play. The Ravens were up 34-10, and then later 41-18. Blowout.
With like minutes left.
Yeah. 6:32 to go is when the Ravens go up 41-18.
Okay. I'm still watching at this point because there are guillotine fantasy stakes on the
sure.
line.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
But the Bucs are like the game, they're not winning the football game.
Right. There's 6:32 left in the game. You know what the Ravens win probability was?
Is it over? It's over 99, right?
It is 99.9.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Like the site doesn't give you enough decimal points to show what it actually is.
Probably. And this is one of those spots where analytics, blah, blah, blah. It's not always just, what do you do on a 4th-and-2? It really might be, in this spot, what should we do with our super important players? Not play them in a game when we have a 0.01% chance to win.
Yeah.
An AFC game. I mean, you'd already lost Mike Evans to a hamstring injury. You're already depleted, and man, what a costly game for the Bucs to lose Evans to a hamstring. That won't be season. But then to lose Godwin for the year in garbage time.
He's been like the most, for fantasy, I know it's true, so I'm sure he's up there in receiving yards and touchdowns. He's been the number one fantasy receiver on the season. So he's been amazing this year. They moved him back to the slot. He's been terrific.
He's second in yards to Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay, there you go.
He leads the league in catches.
Yep. All right. He's been awesome.
Yep. He might also lead the league in touchdowns. No, he's one under. He's got five.
Okay. I mean, they were, I guess, when do you pull him? Because you pull him with 6 minutes to go? Maybe you do. Maybe that's the answer. You pull them with 6 minutes to go. The Ravens pulled Lamar Jackson, and they pulled Derrick Henry. Like, they went out for their final series. The Bucs had scored a touchdown, so Mayfield scores a touchdown, and then they recover the onside kick. So it's like, all right, we're still doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going.
Very costly onside kick.
Yeah, because then they score another touchdown. So they scored two touchdowns in less than 4 minutes, or
to
right around 4 minutes.
To 24,
so now
23.
Now it's a 10-point game. So it's a 10-point game with like 2.5 minutes to go, roughly.
41-31.
Yeah, 41-31. How much time's left?
1:58.
Okay, so it's less than 2 minutes. And they have all three of their timeouts. Mm-hmm. They go stop, stop, stop. So they use their timeouts. Is that when you call off the dogs? Do you not call your timeouts then in a 10-point game? Because then you get the ball back. And like, this is where I think it's bad. I guess I'm trying to figure out when was the right time to do it. Is that final drive when you don't do it? You've scored two touchdowns. It's a 10-point game with 2 minutes to go.
Well, the Ravens are making a choice to trade you points for time, and they don't care.
Right.
Because, if you want to go by the win probability, ESPN's win probability based on score and
the game's
and time,
over. The game's over.
Not only that, Joe, but with in the third quarter, it's 99.7 Ravens.
Yeah.
So all that fighting you did, you were in a worse spot a quarter later. It felt closer because it's now 10 points, but your chances of winning are actually less.
Right.
So,
but they're thinking it's 2 minutes, we score a touchdown, now we're an onside kick away from tying the football game.
Right, but if you're going to live in that land of maybe this miracle could happen, you have to also be ready on the other side of what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mayfield could get hurt. Would you have risked that? I mean, they did risk that.
They did risk it. They risked it after Godwin left the game. And Mayfield, by the way, he kind of showed up his coach last night. Like, they are in field goal range. And there's, 20 seconds left? Like, the game is... But what's the... I'm watching the Manning cast. And, like, the Manning cast is still invested. Like, Peyton's like...
Kick it.
What they need to do right now, they need to kick the field goal and then kick an onside kick because then they could at least do a Hail Mary and they could tie the football game. Like, that's your only play. So they don't do that. They run a play, and what does Mayfield do? Like, Mayfield does not care about the game script. He does not care about what's left on the clock. He doesn't care about the score. Mayfield, the only play there, if you actually think you want to keep the miracle alive,
is
you got to go out of bounds, right?
Yeah, right.
What does he do? He runs right up the middle and slides. Game over. He ends the game himself. He kind of shows up his coach there.
Hmm.
Like, my coach is still going for this miracle. I'm saying it's over right now. I'm declaring this game over before anybody else gets hurt. So his own quarterback kind of said to him, like, yeah, man, we shouldn't have been out here.
Well, if you missed it asleep, it was Baltimore's party.
Yeah.
They're partying quite a bit. Lamar had 5 touchdowns.
He was insane.
Derrick Henry had 190 on the ground.
Yeah, he's on pace for 2,000 yards.
Uh-huh. They look pretty good.
They look like a wagon.
So, sorry to come out of the gate and be like, hey, some crazy stuff happened last night. But as you wake up and you catch up on it, you know, I think there'll be a big conversation about what you do. This is not the Super Bowl. It's not a playoff game where it's everything or nothing right now. I mean, the Dodgers. So here's a tangent. The Dodgers had been getting some criticism a little bit because in their series against the Mets, when you go back and forth, every game was a blowout, right?
Yeah.
When the Dodgers got down big in one of those games to the Mets, you know what they did? They just let it go. They didn't fight for every play. And I mean, like, pitching changes and lineup changes. They didn't decide, we got to do absolutely everything we can to try to get this game back. They conceded that game, basically, in the interest of, well, we're going to have our pitchers healthy tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because you're the Bucks. You don't need this game. It's October. And if I'm a Bucks fan, I'd be furious about it, losing Godwin like that. And I know that injury could happen in the first quarter. That injury could happen in the second quarter. It's not the first quarter. It's... The game is 99.9% over. This is about a coach not putting his players in a tough spot. I think it's an extension of, like, McDermott Hail Mary stuff. Sure, the players have a role in this, but you want the coach to do something that makes you feel like they can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
And for Godwin here, having him on the field is a mistake. And I think it's a terrible mistake. I think it's a mistake to have Baker Mayfield out there. You lost at home. Sorry you got smoked at home. And gave up at one point 34 unanswered points. That's what the Bills did, too. Or maybe 41. No, 31 answered points. Went from 10-0 Bucks to 34-10 Ravens by the end of the third quarter. Sorry, they were too much for you. Mistake. And I've seen people defending Bulls today as like, guys, that's football. That's football. That's right. Sometimes you got to be smarter than football.
Yeah.
You've got to be smarter than football and say, we cannot put the NFL's leading receiver in catches on the field in a game we have 0.01% chance to lose in as we're trying desperately to get a miracle to get a tie.
Mm-hmm. So you would have pulled him like 41-18.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yep.
That's when you pull him.
41-18 probably. Even, 41-18 versus 41-24. You can do your own research on win probability. 41-18, it's 99.9% Ravens. 41-24, it's 99.9% Ravens. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It looked better. Congratulations. Coaches are obsessed with the score looking better. It's one of the reasons they kick field goals when they shouldn't, because the game looks closer.
That's another reason I was actually surprised they didn't kick the field goal, because I was wondering if they just wanted to make it a one-score game.
It would look better.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost by 7.
The dirtiest one-score game of all time if they had kicked that field goal there.
Yeah.
Mayfield said no.
Anyway, there you go.
I do wonder, like, I don't think this probably happened last night. Did you see the clip of Sirianni and Barkley from yesterday?
I did, where Barkley, Sirianni asks Barkley if he wants to go for the record against the Giants.
His career high.
Yep, and he said, no thanks, let's give it to some of the young guys, get him in there.
Yeah, I don't think that happened last night, but that could have happened too. But like where a player goes, gets asked, like, hey, do you want to go back in? Godwin, hey, like you want to be the leading receiver of the year? Like, I'll put you back out here if you, I don't know. He didn't pull any other starter though, which is why I would think he probably did not do that. Because that's the difference. Sirianni, even in the clip, he's like, he's putting all the backups in. I'll put you out there with them if you want to go for your career high. This was not that, I don't think. This was all the starters were still out there, including Kate Otten, who I needed one more point from. Didn't get it.
That game was 28-3. I'm inclined to immediately look for, like, what was the win probability when Sirianni made that call? Was it...
Probably 99.9. Yeah, should that be a rule for any team? If you're 99.9, starters are coming out.
Yeah. Man, tough one for the Bucks.
Yeah, dislocated ankle is definitely still the season, probably, right?
Yeah, that's what they think.
Okay, I didn't see that. Because they thought broken leg.
At the start of the fourth quarter, the Eagles were 99.3.
Okay.
So did he come out in the fourth, or was it a little bit into the fourth?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when the clip came from.
Well, anyway, good morning. Happy Tuesday. The Sabres play tonight. We'll have Lindy Ruff at 8. We'll have Howard Picks the Bills at 8:30. Sal is off today, so he gets a little bit of a break here from us. We gear up for Sabres and Stars tonight. And then, off to another week. Bills and Seahawks. The Thursday night game is an interesting one this week. We got another week of NFL football on the way. And
what's the Thursday night game this week?
It's escaping me, but it's good.
Okay. Week 8? This is week 8?
Vikings-Rams.
Vikings-Rams.
Not bad.
All right.
It's not bad.
I'm into that. We don't have a London game this week.
That's right.
That's all right.
We did have another game flexed, for better or for worse. It's the second time. So, this coming week that the Bears and Commanders are playing at 4:25.
Yeah.
That got flexed into the national spot, and Eagles-Bengals came out.
Okay.
Next week, the week after, Eagles-Jaguars came out of a 4 o'clock spot.
Okay.
And going in is...
Colts Vikings.
Okay, there you go, which I don't think is very... I mean, that's what America can see, that Anthony Richardson doesn't have it.
I guess it's a little better because both of those teams are interesting. The Jags are just kind of dead in the water, even though they beat the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles are not the best watch ever. Also, how about the Eagles just getting thrown out here of top windows?
I had a thought that's probably not realistic, but is it because their coach is unlikable and they don't want to put him on television? I mean, people get mad at that guy. I'm sure that's not it. But I do enjoy the Eagles getting pulled out of those big windows.
Yeah, for Colts Vikings. Richardson, I mean, he does do some crazy stuff too. Like, we'll see. Maybe this will be the game. Well, even in the game where he does this, he'll still go 9 of 25. But he might throw a 70-yard pass on a rope that very few others in the league can actually make.
Well, Baltimore is the other big part of the story. And relative to Bills fans, Baltimore's the story here. Another dominant win over a good Bucs team. The Bucs are good.
Yeah.
And the Bucs go in 4-2, and Baltimore dominates them on the road. And they run for 191. The Bucs had an average run defense going into this game, not a terrible one. Mm. It's kind of like the Bills. Should you be convinced the Bills have a terrible run defense because of how the Ravens ran over them? Maybe not. That really hasn't happened since then. The Jets had some success. The Titans definitely did not. So here are the Bucs getting run over by Derrick Henry. And the Ravens passing game, 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Bucs pass defense, that's pretty rough. It has been for a while. But the Ravens, they look like the best version of the Ravens we've maybe seen. Can I say the best one we've ever seen?
Maybe.
Their defense is not exactly incredible. It looked good against the Bills. Lamar is looking the best he's ever looked, and Derrick Henry is someone they've never had before.
They, to me, even though, can I say this, even though they have 2 losses,
and have lost to the team that's undefeated, I feel like they looked like the scariest team in the AFC right now.
Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs
in week one by a toe.
Opening night by a toe.
Yeah.
And that's a different Chiefs team than it was on opening night. Opening night they had Rashi Rice available,
yeah,
and now they don't. And you know, I guess they were still missing Hollywood Brown, but
also, the Ravens early in the year were having a ton of offensive line problems, and I guess that's really turned around for them.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, run game wise, especially, but like they were putrid in the first couple of games. The first game they couldn't even get a play in because they were taking so many false starts and they were lined up improperly. But I guess their line, which was their thing that was kind of dragging them down a little bit, is kind of corrected itself.
They have 150 rushing yards in each game this year.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. And Lamar, I mean, what the Ravens have right now is an offense completely built out of explosive plays. He finished with 281 on 17 completions.
Yeah.
That's right. Like all explosive plays.
Right. What was his shortest pass? Did he have a pass under like 5 yards in this game? I don't know. The play to Bateman late, he does the Allen plays too, where there are a lot of their big plays are like their offense just functioning, but he also has the thing that Allen does, which is there he is in the fourth quarter. He's scrambling away from everybody, and let me just heave this ball while I'm scrambling to the right down there, and there's Rashad Bateman open for like a 60-yard gain.
They averaged 9.4 yards per play. The Ravens.
Per play.
Per play, the Ravens did. 500 yards of offense. Now, the Bucs, that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, if Lamar had gone for 500 passing, it would have been the second time it happened to the Bucs this year. So, you know, you've got your. I mean, they look good. They look good. The question I guess we'll have is, do you trust Lamar in the playoffs? The Bills and the Ravens are not that different in the life that they live, which is, can you do it in the playoffs? The difference is what the conversation around the playoffs is. For the Ravens, it's can Lamar not fold in the playoffs?
Right.
And for the Bills, it's can they beat the Chiefs? I don't really think Josh Allen gets he's no good in the playoffs conversation.
No, the coach gets it.
That's right. The coach does. And you could, you know, show me a million retweets about people saying Josh throws picks in the playoffs. It's usually from just users on Twitter like DolphinsFan341.
I'll take this opportunity to read the stat again that is incredible to me, that Josh Allen has the lowest interception percentage in NFL history in the playoffs.
I think it's second now.
Is it second
now? I think I saw second.
Okay.
Nate tweeted out some stats on it yesterday. But the life is not that different. The difference is the Bills are let down by their defense more often in the playoffs, and the Ravens are let down by their offense in the playoffs. Yeah. But they both have a year here where they're 5-2, and we're just going to wait to see what happens when they actually get to the postseason. Can Lamar finally shake free and get to a Super Bowl? And can the Bills stay healthy, be right, and do the same? It's been a while since anybody was upset with Josh Allen in the playoffs. It really has almost never happened.
Houston.
The Houston game is a little bit of that.
5 years ago.
The Cincinnati game, no one really got mad at Allen for that, except for maybe Diggs. So it's been a while. And in Baltimore, I bet they argue about Lamar all the time in the playoffs.
The playoff thing for Allen, by the way, it's where you set the minimum. If it's a minimum 100 attempts in the playoffs, then he's number one all time. If you set it at 50, then he's second. But anyways, he's one of the best ever. Yeah, Lamar, though, it's... And he turns the ball over in the postseason, too.
Yep.
That's the other thing. I think it's 6 touchdowns, 6 picks for him in the postseason. And for them, it's the Chiefs also being their boogeyman, I think. Like, the Chiefs have not beaten them 3 times in the postseason. But if you're the Ravens right now, isn't that all you really care about? Don't you feel like, you know, Bills are good, but we handled them. Sure, you had Amari Cooper? Great. We handled you. And Houston is all right, but, like, to me, if I'm the Ravens, I only care right now about Pittsburgh, though, is like, I don't know. Isn't Pittsburgh always the team that's just right there in their crawl? Like, they always play them well.
Yeah.
There's always a 15-12 Ravens-Steelers game every single year. But I think over the big picture, if you're the Ravens, you're only focused on the Chiefs right now. And I think you're probably thinking you beat the Chiefs if you play a rematch. Or if you play them in your own building.
Yep.
Like, how much would they care about the one seed for that? Let's get them back here. I guess they lost the playoff game at home last year to them. But get the game back here and let me take another run at them. We were real sloppy in that first game. The way we look right now, the way they look, like let's take another shot at them. If I'm the Ravens, I think I would feel really good about a Chiefs matchup. But that's all I would care about. The obsession that I would have. The Bills, like, I don't know. They smoked them. How real was it that they smoked them? Doesn't it feel like that could go the same way if they were to play again?
It could, but I'd be surprised. Right?
They're doing that to everybody.
They're doing that to everybody. I'd be surprised if it went exactly the same way, but they're doing that to everybody. I mean, here is Tampa. Like you said, like they did get their yards late and their points, but it was a blowout.
It was a blowout.
803-0550, yeah. Our phone number. Godwin for the year. You know, it's been a tough year for injuries. Really has. Like Ayuk and Godwin both yesterday going out basically this week. And it kind of, every once in a while, you have it driven home that no other sport really eats its players up like this, like football. No sport. I know hockey has injuries. It just doesn't chew them up this badly. In terms of long-term injuries, multiple stars, which 15 players you care about are going to be knocked out for the year in the first 6 weeks?
Right.
And that happens in football all the time. And by the time you get to December, you have to be reminded, like, oh, yeah, don't forget the Bucs are without Godwin. Oh, that's right. Don't forget the Bills are without Milano. Oh, yeah, that's right. Just absolutely chews people up. And with Ayuk, like, boy, isn't this ever a good example of Ayuk will be a tale for players going forward. Fight, fight, fight. Make sure you get your deal. Fight until you get it, because if you give up, you could give up $60 million. Like, you got to fight for every dollar you can get.
If he didn't have his contract right now, he would be getting way less money on his next contract.
It probably costs him $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Coming off an ACL, it would just be, hey, here's 1 year, $17 million.
Yeah.
Like, look what happened to Beckham. Beckham was returning to become one of the premier receivers in the league with the Rams. It looked really good off of an ACL. Then he gets injured in that Super Bowl. And since then, it's been what? There have been more headlines about him on visits than there have been in games.
Right.
He's visited the Bills. He's visited the Ravens. He's visiting the Dolphins. That happens to you. You're in rough shape.
I'm not paying attention to this, so I don't actually even know if this is happening. Is he getting blamed, though? Couldn't you see that happening? Is there anyone out there that's trying to make a point that Ayuk, because he wasn't at camp and because he missed the entire offseason, he wasn't ready for the season, and that's part of the reason why he's injured? I think that would be a dumb point. But I wonder how much of that he's getting right now. Because his whole season before this, at this point, like, he had not really... Had he been turning it on a little bit as of late? Because early in the year it was, man, this looks like a player that didn't do anything during the offseason. At least with the team. Right, like he was dropping passes, he wasn't getting open early on. I guess that really wasn't turning around either. A little bit. He had a huge game against Arizona a couple weeks ago, but otherwise, like, that was his season. He only had one game this year where he went over 50 yards. Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, it had not been going well.
And now the Niners are just what's happening with Deebo Samuel?
Deebo has pneumonia.
He has pneumonia.
Their horrible season of injuries got worse as Kittle has a foot sprain and Deebo has pneumonia and is hospitalized.
Yeah.
Like,
does it happen more to them than any other team?
I don't know.
How many seasons does Shanahan have his resume where it just gets blown up due to injuries?
It's a good question.
This will be like the third one, I think. Like, his record is not actually as good as you think it is, but it's kind of simply just because of injuries. He's had a couple of seasons where everybody got hurt.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk with Lindy Ruff today as the Sabres are back home for a homestand, four-game homestand. The Stars are in town tonight. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call on, you know, a day later, how you're feeling about the Bills, how they look in the conference. Let's talk about the AFC. Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati is not dead, clearly. Pittsburgh is there, and nobody thinks they're legit. But maybe Russell Wilson with a couple of weeks like that can change that. 803-0550, our number on WGR.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Cardinals in LA territory. Murray on the move. Look out in space. Kyler Murray, it's a sprint down the sidelines, and they won't catch him. 44 yards, and is always in the arsenal.
Kyler Murray, there were two games last night. Maybe you didn't see either one of them. Maybe you missed Kyler Murray and the Cardinals against the Chargers. But the Cardinals won.
And now he has a chance to go back-to-back wins for the first time since October of 2021.
Wow, that's a long time.
Right?
Yeah. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. How do you feel about the AFC right now? 803-0550, our phone number. Ravens romp on Monday Night Football over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who lose Chris Godwin and Mike Evans in the game. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens romp. Chiefs stay undefeated. Texans lose a close one in Green Bay. Like, that's a game where C.J. Stroud did not have a good day passing the ball, but I've seen a little bit of he actually had a good day and it looked bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a horrible quarterback in this game. And Jordan Love made some incredible throws. So, doesn't it feel like, I mean, the Packers hit, how far was the field goal to win it?
The McManus field goal? Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't think it was like one of these 59-yard bombs. Which we're seeing with
45.
Okay, 45 yarder to win it.
Yeah.
So the Texans are right there to win that game the same way they were right there to beat the Bills. One, they hit the kick, and the other team hits the kick. Some days you're the fly, some days you're the fly swatter, and that what they say, something like that.
Uh-huh.
So
after yesterday, I don't know if I want to trust you on the sayings, though.
What did I say yesterday?
Schadenfreude.
Oh, Schadenfreude. I didn't know exactly how how right, German to say it.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
One of those things, like if you're saying a word that's whatever. I'm trying to think what's a good word for this.
6:36 in the morning. That might be a dangerous game, though.
Yeah, it's true. Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Right, how German do I want to say it?
Yeah.
Like German root. Anyway, I knew the word. I knew the definition. I just didn't exactly know the perfect pronunciation at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Is it rare 7 weeks in that we would feel this confident about each team leading their divisions right now, ending up on top of their divisions?
Well,
like, I almost feel like I would be stunned, surprised at the least, if any of the four teams not in first place right now didn't win their divisions.
That's probably right. If you want to look at the conference, here's part of the point to back that up. The final playoff team right now, do you know who the final playoff team is?
Is it Cincinnati?
It's Denver.
Denver. Oh, give me that.
Well, Denver's
in the first round
kind of stinks.
Their offense stinks. Their defense is amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
The Chargers are at 3-3. The Bengals are 3-4. Wouldn't you expect the Bengals to climb back in?
I would, yes.
The Dolphins are one game out of they're a game and a half out of a playoff spot. They're 2-4. Denver's 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your point about feeling really good about the division winners, the main point there is that there's a lot of dog teams in the AFC that are not that good.
Yeah.
Teams that you thought should be good and challenging. I mean, the Chargers are 3-3, and they have 100 points so far.
Right. You just scroll down to the bottom, and it's like, who do you see a comeback coming for? New England? No. Cleveland? No. Tennessee? No. Jacksonville? Almost certainly not. The Jets? Maybe. Raiders? No.
Somebody could rip it out of the fire. Like Jacksonville, or somebody could come from 2-5.
The Jaguars did that 2 years ago, where they won like 7 in a row to make the playoffs.
Here's a stat for you on last night in the Chargers. The Chargers, in their games, have had 189 points scored.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams, 106-4, 83 against.
That's insane.
The Bills have scored 199 points.
They've scored more.
The Bills have 10 more points than the Chargers games have. And the Bills are not the only team there. And the Ravens have 218.
Man.
And the Chargers games total have 189.
So predictable too, right? Like Greg Roman. Like
run the
they
ball,
have
play
just
defense, be boring.
The most boring games in football.
Yeah.
Wow.
803-0550. Mike in Toronto. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, just wanted to talk about how the Bills lead the league in turnover differential. So I think through the seven games, the only two turnovers that I recall are the first drive of the year and then that trick play that got absolutely blown up.
That's right. I forgot. Wow. That's how good it's been the last couple weeks is that, like, I forgot about the trick play.
Yeah. Right. So there's always a narrative against this team. Allen turns it over too much. Can't protect the ball. Cook's fumbling.
Yep.
Like, where are all these people now? This team is so it's just been amazing to watch the turnaround there, and I think maybe they deserve a little credit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I one of the things that I think could get Joe Brady a job fast is a good offense and Josh Allen not turning it over. It might be more important if you offered the two outcomes. The Bills are the second best offense and Allen throws 12 picks, or the fifth best offense and no picks. I mean, I would tell you that second is better. But around the NFL, fifth and no picks would be viewed as a bigger accomplishment. If Allen finishes the season with no picks, I mean, it would be beyond comprehension. Well, they fixed him. You know, it all depends on your view of it. As someone that has raised my hand to say I never care about it, I think picks are overrated, especially the kind of picks that he throws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not worried about it. In fact, there's a number on Allen. He's only the second quarterback to make it this far in with no picks. Where is it here? I had it.
I know there were
12. Nick Veronica had this. He pointed this out. Nick Veronica of News 4 Buffalo. So 12 passing touchdowns and no interceptions through seven games. Who's the only other quarterback to do that?
I think I know this because I think I saw a reference. Is it Alex Smith the other one?
It is Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Now, there's a point to be made there, if you'll allow it. It's not Manning. It's not Brady. It's not Rodgers. Not Breeze. Not Mahomes. Yeah. Why? Because it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The greats of all time threw a pick by now. One guy didn't before, and that's Alex Smith. And what do you think about Alex Smith?
All right. Like game manager.
Yeah.
Right? Like one of the good game managers.
Right.
But a game manager.
I mean, it's not to say throwing picks is good. I'm always going to say I think it's overblown. So him throwing none, I'm happy about it for everybody out there that really cares about it. Me, when he throws his first pick, I'm not going to sweat it. I don't think the narrative will start to come back unless it's like, you know, again, whatever. He doesn't throw pick sixes. He doesn't turn the ball over. To me, he's getting away with fumbles, and he does consistently get away with those. He got away with a fumble, was it 2 weeks against the Jets?
Yeah.
Got away with a fumble against the Jets. Spencer Brown got back on top of it. In the playoff game against the Chiefs, people forget, he fumbled on the drive where Tyler Bass missed the kick.
Yeah.
Got it back.
Is he, and I'm almost saying this as a good thing, weirdly, it's going to sound backwards. Isn't it almost a good thing that he's probably going to throw? I mean, one, he's probably, the odds would tell you he's going to throw an interception, right? Like, just going the whole season without throwing one would be insane. The fact that Cooper's here now, like, that is your guy that you're expecting to lead to more open players down the field, and maybe there's a pass that he misses or whatever. He's going to be throwing more dangerous types of passes than he was at the beginning of the season because now he actually has a guy that can go run to the dangerous areas of the field and actually do well. So is that not going? And I'm saying that again, like kind of as a good thing that the areas of the field that you throw picks in more often have been closed to Allen, and now they're going to be reopened a bit by Cooper coming in here and being able to run those routes and actually be able to win those routes.
Yeah, maybe.
So, like, he's going to throw a pick, I think. And I'm not even thinking it's a bad thing. I'm thinking it's a reopening of the areas of the field where he normally would hit.
And
sometimes throw a turnover once in a while.
It's receivers have drops, quarterbacks throw picks.
I mean, Cooper also has drop problems. There's a possibility, like, one of these times he's just going to bobble it up in the air.
Good. Yep.
So,
803-0550 tweeted out this morning, I feel like the Bills and Ravens are living the same life, but with different conversations, and that's, can you get it done in the playoffs? Can you get it done? Baltimore's been to how many AFC Championship games with Lamar? One? One. The Bills have been to how many AFC Championship games with Josh? One.
Mm-hmm.
They lose in the playoffs. Baltimore, it's the quarterback lets him down. The Bills, it's the defense slash coach lets them down.
Yep.
And no matter how good they are this year, it's both teams, Bills and Ravens, it's going to be determined by what did you do in the playoffs? Did, for Baltimore, your quarterback figure it out? Or did the Bills' defense come to play? Were they healthy enough to stop Mahomes in the playoffs? Or Burrow? Or Lamar, for that matter? 803-0550. The first response I got to it was from Jay, who writes, I'm not sure there are many people putting the Bills in the same conversation as the Ravens, rightfully so. I can't imagine thinking the Bills and the Ravens are not in the same conversation.
Right, you could put the Ravens ahead of them, but I wouldn't say that they're not in the same conversation.
You could, but even that would be relatively new. As of a year ago, the Ravens were not necessarily ahead of them. They got the one seed. They did. But if you're not putting the Bills and the Ravens in the same conversation, I don't know really what to tell you. Like, I can't imagine why they wouldn't be. There's the Chiefs, and then there's the Bills and Ravens and Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Texans are trying to get into that conversation. They've got to win some playoff games and, you know, get to a point where it feels like they're good enough. Jordan in North Buffalo. Hey, Jordan, good morning.
Yeah, I like that the point that it doesn't really matter until we get to the playoffs, because we've all seen this script before. We beat up on these bottom feeding teams, a Tennessee team with Mason Rudolph, and Coach McDermott looks great at halftime when he makes these adjustments, and we come out and, you know, we hit on four straight drives in the second half. Our defense looks like gangbusters. But when it counts, when it matters in December and January, when we're going against Mahomes and we have Andy Reid on the other side, could we get it done? And right now I'm saying don't overanalyze these games, you know, against Tennessee or Seattle, because it doesn't really matter until crunch time.
Sure, but they are happening, so we're going to talk about them. we kind of have to.
I just wouldn't get too caught up in it. I mean, we've seen it all before, and I think if you're going to go off any game, it's that Baltimore game, because I think that's when we're most exposed.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to make the case the Bills don't beat good teams, it just doesn't hold up against reality. They haven't beat a team this year with a winning record at this point, right? Nobody has a winning record?
No.
Does Arizona have a winning record right now?
Nope. 3-4, I think.
Okay. But last year, they beat teams with winning records. Last year, they take down the Dolphins, fresh off a 70-point performance. Last year, they win in Kansas City again, like they often do. Last year, they beat Dallas, who had a winning record at the time. They swept the Dolphins the year before. I had somebody yesterday, Joe, we had somebody yesterday try to call and make this point that the Bills, or maybe somebody texting me, that the Bills are the 2023 Dolphins because the 2023 Dolphins didn't beat any playoff teams last year, right?
Uh-huh.
And like, I'm sorry, the Bills have a resume.
Well, also,
the Dolphins have a resume of losing to good teams. The Bills have a resume of beating everybody, except when you get to the playoffs, and then you lose to Kansas City, which, spoiler alert, everybody seems to do.
Yeah. If you're thinking in that mindset anyway, they're 0-2. It's not like they're 0-5 or 0-4. The Dolphins, right. When did we start saying that about the Dolphins? After they had lost like 7 of those games.
Right. And if the Bills beat...
It's been 2.
If the Bills beat the Chiefs, we all know how it works. To a point, Jordan, like, you're not wrong to say nothing matters to the playoffs. I would kind of say that too, but, you know, then again, it is Tuesday, it is October 22nd, and they just played the Titans, and they're about to play the Seahawks, and we might as well talk about it.
Seahawks are in first place.
Does that count as beating a good team?
Well,
we got to decide.
Because right now they have a winning record, but if the Bills beat them, then they'll have a .500 record.
Yeah, right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR. All right, it's instant trivia. It's a little bit of a different kind of instant trivia, okay?
Okay.
All right. This came from Sleeper NHL.
Okay.
What do the following players have in common? Artemi Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, Tyler Toffoli, Brock Nelson, Bo Horvat, Matt Barzal, Anders Lee, Vinny Trocheck. There's a handful more.
What do all of them have in
common?
What
do they have in common?
Who was the first player you
remember? Nico Hischier.
Oh, they all play in the tri-state area?
Yes.
Or in the New York area?
Maybe you could get to the answer here. Like I said, it's kind of a different kind of trivia question.
Okay, they're all...
I'm going to be
impressed. Those are all New York players slash New Jersey.
I'm going to be impressed if you get this.
What do they all have in common?
What do they have in common?
They They all have hat tricks at Madison Square Garden.
No. Do you have a guess, Josh? Do you have a feeling here?
I already saw it.
Oh, okay.
So I know what this is.
They've all...
This is a snarky gotcha stat of the day slash instant trivia.
They've all gone for dollar slices right before their games. They've all... They're all goal scorers. Right?
That's right.
This is like an on-the-ice... This is on-the-ice thing, right?
Yeah, there's a number of names here that are not goal scorers either.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15... There's 16 names. 16 NHL players have what?
Have...
I can give it to you because it's going to be a hard guess, but...
Is it something related to the World Series?
No, but now you're starting to get into the... Thinking outside the box appropriately.
Yeah. They all... I don't know. Don't like Aaron Rodgers. What?
Those are the NHL players that have scored at MetLife Stadium more recently than Daniel Jones.
Oh, my. That's so good. That is so good.
Yeah.
I bet if I sat here for like 10 minutes, you maybe I could have got there, but not in time for the break.
Yeah.
That's amazing, though. They've all scored. Oh, I got to text my Giants friend right now.
It's so good.
That's so good.
Yep.
Come on. How many players is that?
Oh, it's like 16 players.
16 players?
Yeah.
When's the last time Daniel Jones scored at MetLife Stadium?
It's been a long
time. He's been playing.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, did you know that we get Tom Brady for Bill Seahawks?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I'm excited. I've not yet seen him. I've heard reports and reviews that he's doing better. So
he's doing better.
I'll see a Brady game.
It's still
see how long it takes me to get him mad.
He's such a robot.
803-0550. You can join us. Let's talk about the AFC, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Texans. How it looks from here. How you're feeling about the Bills in relation to the AFC. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com